I'm going to be spending some time hanging out in Psalm 1 this evening. You have to bear with me as I'm someone who lives my life through metaphors. But I hope that this evening, what I share with you will be the talk equivalent of coming into a warm room and sitting by your favourite chair by the fire to warm up. Some talks or seminars are like a hike through mountains, hard work, worth it for some great views, but a steep climb all the same. And that's great. But this evening won't be a hike, I hope. It will be more of a sit down and warm up by the fire in a comfy chair. Not that there won't be any challenge or discomfort in this psalm. There is actually, but my simple aim is for us to dwell in this psalm together for a few minutes, set aside our burdens and cares and get warmed by the fire of eternal good news, which I hope will give us the spur that we need to get up and go out from here later on and do something with it. I hope that you will find Psalm 1 to be a place that you want to return to be warmed again and again. Maybe it already is that for you. Maybe it is your go-to place in the Bible already. But either way, the result that I'm hoping for from our little fireside sit together in Psalm 1 is that we would glimpse in the flames a little bit of a big truth together. The answer to the question of who we are, of our true identity. And that we would see that this matters a great deal for us at Christmas, and also as we share the good news of Christmas. Now, if I've lost you already and my fireside metaphor is baffling to you, there's another big metaphor coming, so brace yourselves. Basically, the simple aim is that we're going to think about Psalm 1 this evening. And so let me read Psalm 1 for us. Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Psalm 1 is wonderful, isn't it? A real treat for the mind, heart, soul and imagination. What a way to start the book of Psalms. And the high point of the psalm, right in the middle, is this beautiful picture of a person who is like a tree, verse 3, and what that tree is like. I don't know about you, but this picture jumps right off the page and out of the psalm to me. I don't think it's just because I love trees, although perhaps that helps, but it is just a very inviting picture of human flourishing. And it makes my heart cry out the question, how can I be this person? We don't have time to look much at the verses around verse 3, and I hate to look at a verse in isolation, but a quick look back tells us a bit more about this mysterious tree person. They are described as blessed in verse 1. God's favour rests on them. We learn that they're not shaped by the world and people around them, verse 1, but instead by God's word, verse 2, which is always on their mind and is their true source of joy, their delight. And then we're in at verse 3, which is essentially the picture version of all that's been said. So the tree is the thing that best describes the life of a person who is shaped by God's word rather than the world around them. It's a picture of the Christian. It is a picture of us and our true identity if we are Christians here today. So let's think about this tree for a bit. If it tells us something about our identity, then it's going to be important to reflect and think on this picture a bit more. So look at verse 3. Look at the tree. What first impressions does it conjure up? What is the tree like? Let's have a look at some of the headlines, although I'm sure you can think of more. So firstly, this tree is planted. It's not a wild tree. It hasn't sprung up unwanted, like several little saplings I've spotted in my garden recently, including an ash tree popping up on an outside wall of my house. No, this tree has been put there for a reason and is tended and cared for. And it's secure and stable. It stays where it is planted. is literally rooted to the spot. It's not going anywhere. Secondly, it's planted in a good place. It is well watered and nourished because it's planted by a stream. It has a continual source of life-giving water. Its roots are continually reaching out to drink from this stream. An ash tree growing out of a wall doesn't end well for the tree or the wall, but a tree planted by a stream is perfectly placed for its flourishing and growth. Thirdly, it yields fruit at the right time. Now, this doesn't mean all year round, because that's not how fruit bearing works, is it? There's a season for bearing fruit. But no matter how dead a tree looks in the winter, if the tree is healthy and the conditions are right for the tree, it will bear fruit in season. And fourthly, its leaf does not wither, and whatever it does prospers. It's not evergreen. We all know that there's a season for fruit-bearing trees to lose their leaves, but the tree is well watered. Its leaves won't shrivel up because of lack of water. In that way, and in that sense, the leaves do not wither. And this tree prospers. Now, it seems strange to say that a tree prospers in all it does, doesn't it? When trees don't actually do anything. But perhaps prosperity for a tree is simply to be alive, to have sap coursing through it, to stay where it is, and to grow leaves and fruit at the right times. Perhaps that's all there is to prosperity for a tree. So, connecting the dots, if we are the ones who are blessed and shaped by God's word instead of the world, and who are likened to this tree, then what does this picture tell us about ourselves? So firstly, we are planted. We are not unwanted or uncared for. We are here for a reason. We've been intentionally planted by God, the head gardener. And we are secure and stable. We're rooted to the spot and not going anywhere. We're not involved in a progressive slide away from God, like the person in verse 1, the walk, stand, sit progression, further and further away from God in our hearts and minds. No, we're planted. We have roots. We've been dug into the ground. We're connected. Secondly, we're planted in a good place. We've not only been dug into the ground, we have access to life-giving streams of water. We've been planted close to God's word, his life-giving word. And that is what ultimately feeds, nourishes, and shapes us. We depend on God in his word. Thirdly, we will bear spiritual fruit. We can be confident in God's work, bringing fruit in our lives, even if there are times where spiritual life might be hard to discern in us. It will grow in season. And fourthly, just as prospering for a tree means being alive and bearing fruit, prosperity for God's people means having spiritual life and bearing spiritual fruit. It means prospering in those things which the human world can neither give nor take away. Things like joy in Jesus, spiritual hungering for him, contentment, hope, true humility, patience, among many other things. This is not the prosperity of the world, nor the so-called prosperity gospel. No, this is spiritual life and abundance in Jesus. As for my question, how can I be this person? Well, if I'm a Christian, then I am, and you are too. This is our stable and unshakable identity. We do not earn this identity. We are given it by God. He plants us. He grows us. He will welcome us into his eternal kingdom one day. But we may not feel like this is a picture that perfectly or realistically describes us. I know I don't. But there is more good news. There's another reason to be sure that this is true. If we don't feel like this perfect picture of a spiritually alive and prospering tree, if we don't feel like we match our true identity, the good news is we don't have to. In fact, the only person who has ever perfectly embodied this picture is Jesus. He is the true blessed person of Psalm 1. He is the perfect tree. And so if we are in him, then this is true of us. Jesus even said in John's gospel that he is the true vine. Now, I'm told that this word for vine is actually the same word for tree in the original languages. So he is the true tree, and we are the branches. John 15, verse 5. This is great hope for us and a wonderful promise to cling to. We don't have to get it right all the time. We just have to be a tree, which we are, or even just a branch of the perfect tree, Jesus, planted by the living waters of God's word. And at this point in the talk, in the meeting, we pause to discuss the question, the questions, how do you feel about being like a tree? And how does this picture help you to understand your true identity? So if you want to pause the talk at this point and think about those things, then you can. There's also a handout, which should be also on the website, where you can find those questions and reflect on them at another time. Okay, so what does this have to do with Christmas? In some ways, very little, but in other ways, everything. I'm not suggesting that we start to think of ourselves as trees to the extent that this Christmas we hang baubles all over us, stick a star on top of our heads, and sit in the corner of our living room for the entirety of the Christmas season. That would be a very unfortunate application from this evening. But rather, what I'm hoping is that in truly grasping our identity as those who are planted, who have roots, who are in Christ, the ultimate tree, that this would massively help us in how we think about approaching Christmas and how we think about sharing the good news of Christmas. So how does it help us? How does understanding our arboreal identity, a phrase which I've coined, will it take off? Probably not. But anyway, how does understanding our arboreal identity, arboreal meaning to do with trees, how does that help us? Why does it matter? So firstly, why does it matter for us as we approach Christmas? I can only speak for myself, but words that come to mind when I think of Christmas approaching are things like panic, chaos, overwhelming busyness. And I love Christmas. I really do. I really love the traditions and the festivities and all the opportunities to celebrate such a wonderful thing as God coming to dwell among us in human flesh. But all the extra stuff that we have added to it can be overwhelming. Work Christmas parties, school concerts, planning and buying Christmas food, not to mention the Christmas shopping and the pressure to make sure that everyone has a good time. I can even get stressed about making sure we choose the right Advent devotional to help us as a family, and to help me personally to worship God in the right way in the lead up to Christmas. Perhaps for some of us, Christmas can feel like chaos. Or it could even be that you don't have any of that. Perhaps if you live on your own or your children are grown, perhaps there's none of this chaos that you somehow feel should be part of the whole Christmas package. Perhaps emptiness is a better way to describe Christmas. It's just one long, slow, dark season. And you perhaps could be tempted to feel that you're missing out on something. Or maybe it even feels like both at the same time, emptiness in the chaos. Or plenty of other things might describe how we experience Christmas. I guess the question I want us to think about this evening is how, whatever our experience is, embracing our true identity as a tree, our arboreal identity, if you will, can help us as we approach Christmas. I suppose it helps at Christmas the same way that it helps us every day. But at Christmas, it's particularly poignant because the chaos and the emptiness and other feelings are perhaps heightened. So let's go back to the tree picture yet again. And I'm not going to say anything new in this section, but I'd just like us to try and apply this to us and to the Christmas season. So what does it mean for us to be planted at Christmas? So we have roots, I guess, is the big thing, isn't it? And that is a big deal. We talk about having roots in the English language, don't we? And we mean by that we're settled, you know, part of a community, kids maybe, pets, a mortgage. Or we might mean that we have a history. We know where we've come from, our ancestry, or we've lived somewhere a long time. And all those things are great and do give us a certain amount of human stability. And they can help us to understand something of what is meant by having roots. But I'd like to suggest that roots can mean much more. There are better roots to have, eternal ones. all of those earthly roots can be lost. None of them can really help us in a storm. Our human semblance of stability can be shattered in an instant. But knowing that we have been planted by God, that we have deep spiritual roots, that our lives are based on something that can never be taken away, that we are in Christ, that is something that will hold us fast in either the chaos or the emptiness of Christmas, whatever is our experience. In the chaos, there is security. If we're filled with dread at the thought of family tensions that cause Christmas chaos, or worried about money when the pressure is to spend lots at Christmas, or stressed about all that needs to be done, we need to remember that we are planted by God. We've been given life with roots, secure and steadfast in the chaos. In the emptiness, there is life. If we're feeling hollow at the nothingness of it all, the emptiness, the unfulfilled longings, and the dark disappointments, we need to remember that we are planted by a stream of life-giving water. We have communion with Christ. We're connected to him. We are his branches, and he is our source of life. We are continually receiving and brimming over with life. We are not empty. So I hope you can see that understanding our identity in this way can help us a great deal. Now, secondly, why does it matter for sharing the good news of Christmas? Well, firstly, it matters because our identity, all that we have been talking about all evening, means that we actually have good news to share. Jesus came to earth, dwelt among us, so that there is the possibility of life with roots, security and life. This is good news, first and foremost, to us. And in letting that really sink in, we realise that we have something wonderful to share. We are offering people the opportunity to become trees. I mean, maybe don't say it like that, because there's a lot of ways that could go wrong. But essentially, this is what is on offer. What I mean is that we have found life ourselves. We've been dug into the ground near streams of true and eternal life. This is good news. This is the good news of Christmas. And we are heralds of it. We found something good. We want to share it. And it's especially good news because it is the news of roots and security and life in a world of chaff. Verse 4. The tree picture in the psalm is massively contrasted with this mirror picture in verse 4 of those who are not planted, those who do not know God or delight in his word. They are chaff, the dry husks left behind after the wheat is harvested and the bit you can eat, the good life-giving bit, is removed. And what happens to them? They just blow away in the wind, dead, dry, rootless. This is all the world can offer without Christ. We are trees in a world of chaff. And that makes our message especially good news. Now, none of this means that we all have to be out there preaching on the streets or speaking at wreath-making nights or organising big evangelistic events. We don't have to be academic or eloquent or an organisational mastermind in order to share the good news with people. Mostly it's going to be in simple ways that we're sharing this good news, and we're going to hear some more ideas about ways that we might be able to do that and to help each other do that later on. And I'd be happy to talk to people as well about practical or creative things we can do, although I must confess this isn't actually my strong point either. But I think that in whatever we're doing, whether it is writing a personal note in a Christmas card to friends who don't know Jesus, or making a display in our window, or sharing our testimony with a friend, if we're remembering the goodness of life with roots in Christ and the emptiness of life without Christ, I think that's going to go a fair way to helping us to share the good news. Now, I promised you a sit by the fire this evening and not a hike. I really hope that is the case and that your heart has been warmed by the wonderful news of having such a secure and stable identity, so that you feel ready to face Christmas and perhaps even ready to seek to share its wonderful message in small ways too. And I sincerely hope I haven't confused you with too many metaphors. And some discussion questions or reflection questions as we end. Again, you can find them in the handout, which will be posted online as well. But here were the discussion questions you can reflect on by yourself if you like. So how do you feel as we approach Christmas? How will remembering your arboreal identity, i.e. being a tree, help you as you approach Christmas this year? And how can all this motivate us to share the good news of Christmas with those around us this year?